At the age of 18, Americans are legally able to vote, join the military, buy lottery tickets. But there are some exceptions that allow teens even younger than 18 to act as their own decision makers. About half of states allow younger teens to access birth control. And many states also give adolescents some control over their mental health decisions. In the state of Washington, that right to seek mental health treatment without a parent's consent extends to a kid as young as 13 years old. And while the law is meant to make it easier to get treatment, in some cases, it actually makes it more difficult. Deborah Wong of KUOW in Seattle reports.
We'll begin the story in a tidy kitchen in North Seattle, where Michelle and her 16-year-old son Alex are making soup.
Do you want to put that in, honey?
Sure.
We're not using their last names to protect their privacy.
Here. We can let that simmer.
Michelle says Alex has always been smart and really sensitive. When he was a little kid, he seemed fine. But then something happened.
When he hit middle school, it seemed like things just kind of fell apart.
When Alex turned 13, he fell into a deep depression. He developed an eating disorder. He started hurting himself, and he became suicidal. At one point, Alex says, his mood was so low that he began to lose touch with reality.
I was hearing things that weren't there, and I was sleeping in my closet for a couple of weeks because I thought that there were cameras in my room, and that food wasn't safe to eat, and I was just scared of everything.
There was a solid year and a half when he would go to take a bath, and I would stand outside the door, you know, hey, how you doing in there? You know, every 5 minutes just to make sure everything was okay. And, you know, when I would wake up in the morning, the first thing I would do was walk to his room to see if he was still alive.
Michelle scrambled to find help. Therapists she found had long waiting lists. After a few months, she finally got him into a program that seemed promising. But then she learned that Alex didn't want her involved in his treatment. He didn't want his therapist to share any information with her. And that was entirely within his rights. The law in the state of Washington gives teens 13 and older the ability to consent to their own mental health care, and it gives them control over all of their treatment information, including their diagnosis, treatment plan, even the medications they're prescribed. They have to sign consent forms to share that information with anyone, including their parents. Alex declined to sign those forms, leaving Michelle largely in the dark.
He had lost touch with reality. And thought nothing except, when, how can I die? And to take a child, a 13-year-old child in that condition, and say, you're driving the bus? That's egregious.
And it turns out that the law in Washington state isn't unique. Many states give teenagers the right to make decisions about their mental health care and about other sensitive matters like birth control and abortion. In Massachusetts, the age of consent for mental health treatment is 16. In California, it's 12. Washington state's law dates back to 1985. It was meant to make it easier for teens to get treatment, especially in cases where parents are unable or unwilling to give permission, like if the teens are homeless or estranged from their parents. And sometimes teens just don't want to tell their parents that they need help. Phil Talmadge is a former Washington state senator and author of the law.
You wanted to encourage kids to get that kind of mental health service, and if there was an impediment because of this age of consent, then we wanted to remove that impediment. We wanted to encourage kids to get the appropriate kind of services that they need, and that's what this was designed to accomplish.
But Washington's law is unusual in that it gives a lot of authority to teens, but very little to parents. In Alex's case, it meant his mom couldn't talk with his therapist. But in other cases, it means teens can refuse treatment altogether, sometimes with tragic results.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, committee members. My name is Willie Binion, and this is my wife, Deborah Binion.
And we are also Willie and Deborah Binion told their story to legislators back in 2011. Their son Jordan began experiencing psychotic symptoms when he was 16. Jordan was briefly admitted to a hospital, but then he discharged himself. He didn't need his parents' permission to do that. 5 months later, Jordan was dead of a suicide.
We were never told any option or choices that we had. It was just strictly, it's all up to Jordan. If Jordan doesn't want to do it, there's nothing you can do. And so as parents, you know, we lost our son. We can never bring our son back. But we do not want anybody else ever to go through what we did in an attempt to get our son help.
People in Washington state have been arguing over the age of consent for mental health for decades. More than a dozen bills have been filed in the state legislature to raise the age or to give parents more input into their teens' treatment. The fight has largely fallen along partisan lines, with Republicans backing more parental rights and Democrats fighting to maintain the rights of teens. But in recent years, as more teens have struggled with mental health issues, more families are being confronted with this law.
People are horrified, and they can't believe it.
That's Peggy Dolane. She's a mother of two, and her kids have both struggled with mental health issues, and they both at times refused treatment. She says she learned about the law when her family was in crisis, and she resolved to do something about it.
And I was told 2.5 years ago that this issue has been attempted to be dealt with for 40 years, and the best minds have tried to solve it. It's not solvable. Go work on something else. And as a parent, I'm like, no, this is wrong.
2 years ago, Dolane backed yet another attempt in the legislature to expand parents' rights. The bill failed. But legislators agreed to put together a task force to try to find a compromise. It was comprised of parents, youth advocates, and mental health providers, among others.
This was tremendous work. Yes.
They met excellent for more than a year and reached an agreement. The task force recommended keeping the age of consent at 13, but giving parents some access to information about their teen's mental health treatment. For example, diagnosis, prescription information, and treatment plan, as long as the release of that information is not detrimental to the teen. They also said parents should be able to take their teens to some outpatient appointments, even if the teens don't explicitly consent. Those recommendations are now moving through the legislature. Peggy Dolane says it's not everything she wanted, but it's great progress for parents. Less clear is what the state's mental health care providers will think about it. David Downing is the chief operating officer for Youth Eastside Services, a provider of outpatient mental health care. He says while he supports parents' involvement in treatment, he's concerned about what the change in law could mean for some teens.
Kids are not necessarily going to access treatment if what they say is not kept private. A foundation of the counseling, the mental health field, is privacy. And for a certain grouping of kids, is profoundly important for them to know that they can come and talk to an adult, and it's not going to get back anywhere else.
Downing says there's likely to be confusion as people learn to navigate a new kind of mental health relationship between parents and kids. And what do kids think? Remember Alex? Well, he's the only teen who publicly has testified about the legislation. He told lawmakers that at first he had concerns, but now he understands that when he was 13, he was in a very different and dangerous place. He didn't know what was best for him or what kind of care he needed, and he says that led to delays in getting treatment.
And now that I'm on the other side of that, I can see that while I would have hated having my parents in charge of my care as a younger person, that it would have saved me and my family a lot of suffering and pain.
After years of therapy and a stay in a residential treatment center out of state, Alex is doing well today. And he's found a career that he wants to pursue. He says he wants to be a mental health care provider. For Here and Now, I'm Deborah Wong in Seattle.
And Deborah's spending the year doing stories like this one, reporting on teenagers and mental health issues in the Pacific Northwest. It's part of a Rosalind Carter Mental Health Journalism Fellowship.